This is Montreal Now with Aaron Rand and Natasha Hall, CJAD 800.
That is James Menney. He is over at the Montreal Gazette. Jim, I want to start off today with something Bernard Dranville said yesterday, because this story is a little confusing to me. So here's the current education minister who's been in that job for all of 2 months, deciding the best way to deal with the problem in our education system is to, in fact, blame the last administration for what they didn't do. But then the last administration has a couple of people standing up and saying, you know what, we could have done a better job. This is so bizarre. Here's Bernard Dranville yesterday pointing fingers. Brian?
In education, we should have been a little bit more moderate. The most difficult thing was that these cutbacks created a slowdown, if not a full stop, of the hirings. This is how we met the budgetary targets, the cutbacks targets. By not replacing the people who were leaving, by not replacing teachers, for example, who were leaving. In education, I must admit, this created a lot of difficulties. I think it's a good thing that Monsieur Leiteau has the frankness to recognize the errors that were committed. Now I'm hoping that Madame Risky, I hope she will take advantage of this occasion to apologize behalf of the Quebec Liberal Party for the damages that they've inflicted on the Quebec education system. Damages that we're still living with as of today.
Tough talk from our new education minister, huh, Jim?
Well, they had it. They tossed him a beach ball right over the plate, right? The day before, Carlos Sotelo, as Monsieur Dranville said, he's being interviewed on RadCan, and he said, listen, you know, if I had it to do all over again, I would have gone easy on the education sector. But we kind of hit him a little hard. And it is a kind of butterfly wing effect. When you start cutting budgets back in, 2016, 2014, and there's a hiring freeze and there's a hiring ban and things just chug along. And we know that the Quebec bureaucracy, regardless of the ministry, it's like if you're trying to change course, it's like, trying to turn a super tanker on a dime. It takes about at least a year and a half. But the thing is, the damage has been done. Those classes became normal with, overpopulated classrooms, with a lack of teachers, burned out teachers. And the Liberals, even Martin Gay yesterday, said the same thing. He said, listen, if we could do it over again, we would have laid off education, although some people might say you might have laid off health too, because that's kind of still reeling from that. But all that said, they also point out the CAQ has been in power since 2018. They've had a good 5 years. They haven't really changed the working conditions for teachers, which is a huge issue in terms of recruiting people into the system. They certainly haven't done anything to increase salary rates, which are among, if not the lowest in the country. So, of course, everyone's pointing fingers at each other, about when they did what. But the fact of the matter is, much in the same way as our healthcare network is being held together with spit and bubblegum, our education system, which honestly, I know we always say health first, but as far as I'm concerned, should be kept on an equal footing with our healthcare system, is also in desperate straits. And whether it's the fact that we saw these, absolutely abhorrent marks for French written exams, but for Francophone students in Quebec, whether it is the dropout rate, we have a problem. And this is a problem. I know I'm not saying health isn't a problem, but this is a problem for Quebec's future about where we're going to be, what we're going to be able to do, and how we're going to be able to compete. And right now, sure, I'll give Monsieur Dranville. This week he can crow, he can point the finger, but next week get to work, because the time for excuses is past. And I think a lot of Quebecers, a lot of parents are looking at their kids and saying, I probably ended up having a better education than you did, and I thought school sucked.
You summed it up very, very well there. I'm literally, we're like, oh, okay. And I have to say, honestly, I don't care at this point how we got here. Just fix it. Stop talking about the past and how we ended up in this position. This is the position we're in. We got to do something about it.
But once again, we also had a situation where in that, and this is a real problem with politics anywhere. At that point in time, 2014, 2016, the idea was to balance the budget. Everyone was talking about the deficit. Everyone was talking about debt. Everyone was talking about. But here's the thing: we don't want to inflict on our children and their grandchildren these incredible debts that we've run up. But on the other hand, you may have, you know, perhaps lessen that, not very much. But on the other hand, if you're shortchanging them on their education, which is the bigger injury that you're doing? And I would describe, I don't have kids, but like I said, I grew up in the education system, which at the time I thought was awful, but I look back on it compared to what's going on now.
Yeah.
It was pretty good. I mean, it wasn't quite the exercise in desperation that we're seeing today. But all that said, in the end, it's a political issue because politicians run the system. And if it wasn't for the British North America Act, the politicians in Quebec would be running the English language education. So they're still going to try, but they haven't succeeded thus far. But we've already seen what kind of handiwork they've done with the French language sectors.
I'm kind of wondering if you were even surprised that Carlos Leitao, and then after that, that Gaetan Barrette, why even bother kind of saying that? I realize he's doing an interview. The question was asked. Didn't it better just moved on? You knew that would open the door for someone like a Dranville to just walk in and kick it down.
You know what? These guys aren't in politics anymore. And I think to a certain extent, maybe they realize that they did do damage. They did do damage, and perhaps at least admitting that that's the problem, that was where the problem was, is, I guess, a way to come clean. Mm. I certainly appreciate the candor of Mr. Leitao, because a lot of times, a lot of politicians, even from that era, will blame the government before them. So at least you took responsibility for this. You might have said, you might have spoken up at the time. That wasn't the case. But listen, there have been so many examples of mismanagement by various Quebec governments going back for decades. We're still living with. So honestly, all we can hope is, as you suggest, hit the reset button. Let's move on. But let's not keep making the same mistakes over and over and over.
We have David Lametti on it just after 5:30 to talk about the Medical Assistance in Dying Act and the changes now going on there. But I want to get back to what we heard today. This kind of came out of the blue. The Liberals now modifying their gun control bill again to, if you listen to Pierre Poilievre, it was all done, of course, to appease the Conservatives.
Except here's the problem. Very briefly, C-21 was supposed to be about handguns, controlling handguns, prohibiting handguns. At the last minute, before it starts going to reading, Liberal MP dumps, if memory serves, a phone book-sized set of amendments, which, quite frankly, would have seen all kinds of hunting rifles treated as assault weapons,
right,
and not just banned, but made prohibited in the criminal code. It's almost impossible to turn that ship around once it's sailed.
Yes.
Hunters groups, and most embarrassingly for the Trudeau government, First Nations, Métis, and Inuit groups came up and said, listen, how dare you do this? You haven't got the slightest idea of the importance of these weapons, these tools, as they call them, are to our daily lives. And it also showed more largely, and we've talked about this on the show before, the disconnect between urban politicians and rural Canada, which is a big chunk of Canada. They have no clue, but the MPs in those ridings had a clue. When you see the NDP standing up, NDP in the Yukon, standing up and saying this amendment must be withdrawn, the NDP aren't known as being a bunch of gun nuts. But they do understand, and certainly there are some conservatives who understand, and there are liberals who understand in those ridings the importance of these particular weapons. And the big question that's going to get swept under the rug here as we trudge along for more hearings is, how in the hell would these amendments get tabled in the first place?
Mm-hmm. Good question. All right, Jim, thank you. You have a good weekend. Appreciate it.
Stay warm, guys.
You bet.
You too.